that's the conversation that we're going to continue this morning, right? Where we find ourselves in the demands of the kingdoms of this world, where we live, work, play, raise families, get educated, and that is right in front of us every morning when we wake up just begging of our utmost attention. And yet the reality is there's this other world going on that we know it in the deep aches of our world, that there is something that heaven has to offer that we long for. But what would it look like if these two worlds met in a way that was meaningful, that we might experience eternity right here and right now? We're going to have that conversation this morning concerning this pathway that the Lord gives us to experience that in meaningful ways. But before we get there, I want to just ask you if you've ever looked in the mirror, and when you looked in the mirror, you didn't like what was looking back at you. You been there? And I'm not talking necessarily about when you were looking in the mirror and you saw a pimple in a spot that you couldn't cover it up quickly. I'm talking about when you look in the mirror and you know what's looking back at you isn't what you long to be. That you know there's so much more inside of you. You were created for something, and what's staring back at you is less than what you had hoped for. That's an aching spot to be, that I think most of us can resonate with as we look across our lives at different seasons. But has there ever been a time when you looked into the mirror and you saw through the mirror? And when you saw through the mirror, you saw great potential. You started to see a greater dream with better clarity. And you walked away from that mirror knowing that there was something else to be discovered. I hope that you've had those moments in life. I'm going to ask you to withhold judgment on this next story because I'm going to share with you one of my favorite movies. And I'm not great in the movie critique world, but I want my favorite movie, my go-to of all time, if I just need to think about life, if I just need to laugh a little bit, I'm going to pull out Cool Runnings. And many of you are like, what's that movie? It's an old one, but a good one. And when you look at Cool Runnings, it's about this Jamaican bobsled team. And maybe I resonate just because of the weirdness of Jamaicans going to the Winter Olympics and thinking they're going to compete in any special way. And maybe that just does something deep within my being. But there's this spot in the movie where one of the teammates is wrestling. He is a part of the team, but he keeps hearing these voices inside of his head that he's not good enough, that he doesn't have what it takes. And these voices inside of his head aren't just his own internal voices. They come out of a legacy of family, that he's letting his parents down in pursuing his dream. And when he looks in that mirror, he doesn't see what God sees. Matter of fact, they're out in a public setting, and one of his teammates pulls him into a public restroom and says, look in the mirror. And as he looks in, he says, what do you see? And the man starts to cower back. And what he says about himself is not who he is. And the teammate actually stops him, and he says, no. You don't see what you should see. And he starts to embolden him with words over him that take that mirror and turn it into a window of opportunity. And he walks away from that mirror and he walks with his teammate into his destiny. And I think that's this opportunity that you and I have this morning. As we try to look at what does it mean to experience eternity now? Are there pathways that God allows us to see the ache of our lack and pursue it to be to pursue God's dream for us? It's this pathway of generosity. And generosity does something incredible for us, but it's not an easy thing to talk about. It's not an easy thing to pursue. Paul's going to give us some incredible words this morning as we take a journey down that direction. And so if you want to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, If you're gathering with us in person, you can look at page 1070 in the Bibles that are in front of you. If you're online, we're so glad that you're with us. We'll trust that you can use your phone or the Bible that you have with you to walk with us in this text this morning. As we look through what Paul's going to do, let me just open up with what an ancient sage once wrote about the conversation of generosity. He said, "The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed." Now, I want to remind you, if you're just showing up today, that generosity isn't the only gateway to experiencing eternity now. We've been in the conversation for the last couple weeks that we need to get to know the Word. The Word is Jesus himself, who was in the beginning with God and created all things, and he is the one who sustains to the very end that we see in heaven, and he chooses to dwell among us, is what the Gospels tell us, is that he comes and meets us here and now, and it's in Jesus that we have life. And when we start to learn the words of God alongside the word Jesus, day by day we can start seeing the kingdom showing up in our life. And we can have a conversation that matters with God through prayer. That we can actually learn in the tensions of life to relax into God's presence and goodness through prayer. And as we know the word and we start having conversations with God, I believe it will cultivate inside of us this pathway of generosity. And so as we set up in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, let me just remind you where Paul's at. Paul's speaking to the church in Corinth. Now, he's already written one letter to the church in Corinth because they're a church that is struggling. It's not because they want to struggle or because they're bad people. It's because they live in Corinth. It's like a land of opportunity. There's a lot of money flowing in. There's a lot of money flowing out. There's incredible riches and there's incredible poverty. There's social events going on at every corner. Matter of fact, there's actually these little g gods for every occasion, for every celebration, and for every shame. And so it's just easy for these people who are in Corinth to forget to be intentional with that which God has given them. And so Paul writes to them and just reminds them that if they want to take and make the most of their moment in history, they're going to have to be intentional in the way they look at their life. And one of the grand places that we get distracted in is in our resources. And Paul says, I want to encourage you to be generous. And what Paul's going to do here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is say to a body of believers, there are other believers around the world who have shown you great generosity. Now, what might it look like for you to mature in your generosity? And so we'll pick it up in verse 1 of chapter 8. He says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in the wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, and I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this is not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. And I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine." Paul is sharing with these Corinthian believers that, hey, there's this other group of believers that did something unexpected. That's kind of the heartbeat of generosity. It's unexpected. But when you look at the scenario, you go, I don't know if this is possible. And all of a sudden, when people see what heaven can do inside of their life and they apply it to the here and now, they do the unexpected. And that's the gift. That's what allows us to see eternity now and collide these two worlds together in a meaningful way, is that we meet God in the place of the unexpected. But notice in this text, as we look to how God works through the unexpected, Paul puts it really closely to the conversation of grace. Matter of fact, he doesn't separate the conversation. He says generosity and the acts of grace go hand in hand. It's one of the greatest things that we see around the world, even by non-believers, is we see the acts of God's grace working through all people anytime generosity is fostered for the good of people. But we Christians ought to be even more intentional in the way that we pursue generosity. And so Paul writes this in verse 5. He says that this wasn't expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord. And that's the key part of this, right? If we want to experience eternity now, it starts with how you and I have a relationship with the Lord. The Lord as God the Father, the Lord as God the Son, and the Lord as God the Holy Spirit. And we first give ourselves to that relationship, and as we find ourselves submitting and surrendering to a healthy relationship with God, it says, well, then they gave themselves to the will of God. I want you to think about that for just a second. Most of us long for God to show up and give us His will for us. But have you considered giving yourself to a relationship with God so that in that space He can reveal the will of God to you? And so Paul says, first and foremost, give yourself in relationship to the Lord. And then he goes on and he reminds these achieving Corinthians that they excel in a lot of things. Like, their distractions aren't bad things. Many of them are good things. Now, there's certainly things in the world of Corinth that are much like the world of America that we overindulge in that lead us down really bad paths. But most of us just get distracted by good things. And he says, you're excelling in good things. He says, you excel in faith. You excel in speech. You excel in knowledge. You excel in this earnestness, this grinder mentality, this driven mentality. You even excel in loving on people. But he says, I want you to make sure, and I want you to consider, are you excelling in the act of grace? Are you excelling in the way that you cultivate generosity in your life? Now, that's the conversation that Paul has. And this may be my favorite part of this text, is verse 8, where he says, I say this not as a command, right? Most of us, the second we start thinking about generosity and how that's going to impact our resources, our time, our influence, our giftedness, all of a sudden we start moving into this religion mentality of, oh no, what's coming around the corner? And Paul says, whoa, 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 I don't say this as a command. He says, I say this so that in your earnestness and others' earnestness, people might see that your love is genuine. That the love you say that you have in a relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit would be the love other people experience because of the lifestyle that you and I choose to live among them, which is an act of grace. To be Christian and to not be generous is like an oxymoron. And so what does that look like? Well, let's come up for air for just a second. Because I know the second we start talking about generosity and the implications of generosity, that becomes an uncomfortable place for many of us. Many of us have grown up in ways that it's like, okay, this stuff's private. Not because we don't want to share and care about it, but we just don't know how. To talk about what we give feels prideful. To also talk about what we give makes us go, well, I don't know if I give enough or not enough. Or too much, or how do I engage in a conversation with somebody else? So we struggle. Some of you are like, Tyler, I finally got this family member to come with me to church today. They're sitting right next to me. And now you want to talk about generosity? And I just wanted to say, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Let me reframe this conversation for us. When you think about giving of your resources, your time, your giftedness, your money, and your influence, we quickly go to what we do and don't have. But God is telling a different story. It's a story of grace. And his generous grace. If you've ever picked up the scriptures, no matter where you pick them up and you start to read them, from beginning to end, the scriptures reveal a story of generosity. It's God's story of generosity. And so if we're going to talk about God's story and how you and I meet in God's story, we have to talk. We should want to talk about how in the world we could become and cultivate a lifestyle of generosity among us. That generosity culminates itself in the person and in the work of Jesus. God gave himself generously to us, that we might receive his generosity and out of his generosity live with acts of grace. And so as we pursue conversations of generosity, rather than fearing them, rather than looking at them and saying what all I have or what all I don't have, What if we trusted the Lord? What if we trusted the Lord with whatever he has blessed us with, just to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you in a relationship with you to follow your will and your promptings. And as I do so, I trust that you'll be sufficient. Paul knows the challenges of generosity. He knows what it does to the internal beings of people. And so he doesn't just talk about the implications of generosity. He actually talks about the why. Look at verse 9. He says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." This is why we're a generous people. Because we can't help but want to be a part of God's generous story. We can't help but long to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And to be a part of something bigger than ourselves is to give of our time. It's to give generously of our giftedness, of our resources, of our influence. And that comes out of this relationship that we have seen in God's generosity toward us through Jesus. So we're going to just take a minute to pause and to ponder God's grand act of grace and how generous that was on our behalf. As you walked in this morning, you may have received communion. I'm going to ask you to take that out. Every week as we gather, the scriptures tell us to gather around the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. I don't believe this is just to remind us of all the wrong that we've done in our life. I actually believe a lot of this is about all the right that God wants to do through our lives as we partner with him in the acts of grace. And so this morning, allow who Jesus is to be a part of who we're becoming as we eat together. And take the opportunity to peel back and to peer into the blood of Jesus and to know in all of your strengths and in all of your weaknesses, he is where you find your sufficiency. Let's drink together. For us believers, generosity starts with who and how we see Jesus. And when we see Jesus for who he is in the grand narrative of God's generous story, it just compels us to live out of who Jesus is calling us to be, God's dream for us. If you were to continue to read on in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, which I would encourage you to do as you go throughout your week, Paul's going to throw out a few words. He's going to throw out the word readiness and fairness. And one of the things, twice here, he's going to say that you need to find yourself in readiness. It's the reminder that generosity doesn't just happen overnight. Now, I want you to know, like when tragedy happens, humanity kind of kicks into our calling. It's our God-given design, and we give generously. But I'm talking about a lifestyle of generosity, one that when you wake up at the end of your life and you look in the mirror, you don't see looking back at you something that you're not proud of, but rather you see through the window of all that God designed your life to be and to do. And as you think about that, Paul says, cultivate readiness. Be intentional. Think about how you might become and build and foster a sustaining life of generosity. And then he says, I know that fairness is going to come into this conversation. That you're going to look at things and you're going to say that, hey, well, that's not fair because that's a bigger burden on this group of people and a lesser burden on that group of people. And Paul knows your world and my world. It's not fair. But he says, as you evaluate fairness, allow the kingdom of heaven to collide in a meaningful way in your moment in history that you're experiencing in eternity now, and ask God about fair. And just be reminded that in all of your debt that sin and your selfishness has caused, just know that God never treated you fair. He doesn't treat me fair. He doesn't treat us fair. He treats us with his grand acts of grace. And allow that to compel us in the way that we consider to live out a fostering of generosity among us. And so I know that most of us want to be described at the end of life as having been a generous person, having lived out God's dream for us. The question is what do we do tomorrow to cultivate that? Well, one of the things that Jenny and I do in our lives to try to cultivate areas of generosity, because some areas just become very natural. But when we're talking about a totality of generosity, there are other areas that definitely are a struggle that we have to cultivate. And one of the ways that we do that is to look at other people's stories and to be inspired by what others are doing in that, and then ask God how we can filter that to the giftednesses and the resources that he's given us. And so this morning, I just want to take and share four stories. And maybe God will use those to help foster in you the imagination of what it might look like to look through the window of wisdom and see what a generous life for you might be cultivated through. It's one Madison Parker who decided to be generous with his time. And that's hard for some of us because it's our most prized possession. We only got so much of it. And he decided to give of his time and pursue what he sensed God was calling him toward. But it was a scary step of faith. And he stepped out with his time and just said, I'm going to take my next step in leadership development. And he stepped into a Christian leadership thing, and little did he know over the weeks and months and years to come that God would move him out of the career that he was in and land him right into a calling that he's using day by day to help people assess the time that the Lord has given them and how they might participate in partnering with God to do the most with the time that they have. I'm telling you, this person that is walking generously in the gift of time is transforming the landscape by the very acts of grace that God has placed inside of him. And it's a beautiful gift, not just to him, but to those that he is walking and sharing among. It's another person here at Madison Park who is assessing their giftedness. And their giftedness is an incredible teacher. But maybe more than just the gifting of teaching, it's this person's giftedness of learning. And they're at a season of life where they have a little bit more time in the morning and a little bit more time of the evening. And God just keeps compelling them to spend time sitting and waiting in his presence and goodness and reading and scouring through the Gospels. And this man has said, you know what, I'm going to give of my giftedness. I'm going to respond in a generous way and say, hey, at Madison Park, would you guys allow me to partner with God? And every week during the 10:30 hour over in the fellowship hall, this man is unpacking gospel truths out of the gospels and just saying, hey, let's look at what Jesus' life does and what might it look like. And I trust over the weeks and months and years to come, as a church, we are going to be refreshed through the gospel because this man has said, I just want to give of my giftedness generously. It's another couple. Some of you might know them. Many of us would not know them. They passed a while back. And they looked at their resources, and with their resources, they wanted to be committed. Committed to making sure the next generation always had a space that was inviting to cultivate their spiritual formation. And this couple gave generously to make sure that those things happened, but they wanted their legacy to go far beyond their life. And so they set up legacy giving. And this couple, as they passed, have continued to be a great gift to those of us who are raising families here at Madison Park. You would see it on Sunday morning if you walked down the hall toward the East End. We were able to revamp the early childhood ministry area, much because of this couple who is now on the other side of life. That they won't even know the kids' name this side of heaven that they're impacting in the families, but because of their generosity for people they didn't even know names and faces of yet, we were able to relocate our early childhood ministry and not have to be a bigger burden to the body right here at this moment in time, that we might live in their generosity and be inspired to make sure that we continue in the ministry and the mission that God has called us to as a church. Some people have the resources and they intentionally take time to assess what that might look like. It's another couple who have wanted to be generous with their influence. They're Quincyans through and through. They have a business in town. They have skins on the wall in the educational world, in the sports world. And they have said, you know, like we seem to have all the things you need to survive in Quincy. But there's a lot of other people that when they look in the mirror, they don't have those opportunities. And we want to turn mirrors into windows. And so they've used their influence to go to those who don't have opportunity and make sure whatever God has favored with them in their name, space, and place, that they could use their influence to make sure others have opportunity. And many in our community are finding God's dream for them because of this couple's willingness to share their influence. Church, we have an opportunity to step into God's dream for us. Giving and generosity are not about earning God's favor. They're about partnering with God in his grand story. And your story is being written right here and right now. And God would love for you to experience eternity at this moment through the pathway of generosity. I want to take us, as we conclude this morning, back to these three positions. Because I know when we think about generosity, some of us, by our generation, our personality, the way we see the world, the giftedness that we have, we think of generosity, and the financial gurus would say in this position or these types of people, they would call them nerds. That some of us nerds, all the dollars and the cents have to add up before we can act upon God's will. And oh man, your skill sets are incredibly valuable. Accounting is really, really important. But be careful. Because did you notice in the text this morning that the acts of grace and generosity are often unexpected? So foster a willingness, a readiness for the unexpected. Because that's often where God shows up in converging these two different worlds that we might experience eternity now. Some of us, by personality, we sit back and we like more of the coffee shop feel, and we love to talk about generosity and God's acts of grace in the world, but the financial gurus would call us the free spirits. We talk about it a lot, but we don't really do any accounting for it. We don't actually put skin in the game. And if you find yourself in this space, I would just encourage you that God has given you resources for a reason. And to make sure that you're using that which he has blessed you with and applying it to what God wants to do in your life. So as nerds and as free spirits, there's this other spot where we can meet God as surrendered followers of Jesus and say, Lord, what does it look like for me to step in and under your presence and to trust you? Trust that as you take us on a journey of generosity, that you're going to show up and be faithful. And that you're going to meet us here in meaningful ways. I hesitated in reading a text this long, but I think it fits so well. As we're on our knees before the Lord, just to listen and to be inspired by what generosity looks like when you and I embrace it as a way to live out a relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Paul writes this. He says, the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contributions for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Allow us to be a people experiencing eternity now as we cultivate lifestyles of generosity. Father, thank you for your son, Jesus, your grand expression of your generous pursuit of us. And yet it's not just your grand expression of Jesus, but day by day you meet us in generous ways. Help us as people to meet you there in the acts of grace that we might live generously, that others might experience your grand story of grace. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.